Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Have you ever heard of the Abraham scoop? Well, it's right here in Matthew chapter 3. Let's read together beginning in verse 7. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves," stop, here's the Abraham scoop, "we have Abraham for our father." You see, they're thinking, my lineage can be traced back to Abraham. I'm okay. I'm going to be part of the Messianic kingdom because my lineage can be traced back to Abraham. It doesn't make any difference how I'm living. I'm going to be scooped up into the kingdom because my lineage is traceable to Abraham. But we see that John would say, you need to change in order to be have that entrance into the kingdom. Look over where you will at chapter 8. Now you'll note here in Matthew 3, he said, do not suppose, don't make the mistake of thinking that because you can trace your lineage to Abraham, you're going to be granted an abundant entrance into the kingdom of the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11, he said, many will come from east and west. Now this is Jesus speaking. He said, I say to you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom, that's these people who should have been the ones to pave the way for the Messiah, the Jews, the sons of the kingdom, will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So no lineage to Abraham will not ensure that you're going to be scooped up and put into the kingdom of heaven. There are definitely some changes you Jews need to make. Repentance and then to believe in a suffering Messiah in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's the Abraham scoop that they put their confidence in. But we don't want to talk about the Abraham scoop today. We want to talk about the Jesus scoop. If people have some faith in Jesus, just talk about Him. Just maybe know who He is. Maybe go to church occasionally, or a member of a church that has Christ on the sign, or somewhere in their religious service, then they're going to make it into heaven. Their hope and their confidence is in Jesus. And that Jesus scoop is going to scoop them up regardless of how they live, regardless of what their particular church teaches or their doctrine is or how zealous they are. The Jesus scoop will get them. Now, what do they rely on for proof that that's the case? One, I just feel it in my heart. Or, look, I've heard preachers preach that. Just believe in Jesus and everything's okay. And there are churches that advocate that. Well, why don't we ask Jesus Himself? Wouldn't that be the safest way to find out if that's the truth? And see if indeed this scoop that's going to get people into heaven supposedly is in accord with what Jesus himself teaches. All right? So let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. So here we have the words of Jesus himself. In John chapter 8, verse 24. I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that, stop with me. If you ask that audience, was there a man named Jesus, what would they say? Sure. They might even say he did some things that we can't explain how he did it. They might even say that we could find nothing wrong with his life. But there's something else that Jesus is pointing out. Look. He said, you're going to die in your sin, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Well, what does that mean? So they asked him, they said, who are you? What are you talking about? Jesus said to them, what I have been saying to you from the beginning. Now, we can just go back in this chapter to verse 12 to get a little taste of that. You'd have to go back to the beginning of his ministry to get what he'd been saying from the beginning. But look in verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness. He said in 23, I am from above. In verse 36, he said, it's the Son that makes you free. In verse 58, he said, before Abraham was born, I am. So, when we talk about the Jesus scoop, one thing that's clear, if we depend upon the teaching of Jesus, it's not just any concept of Jesus. It's not just a profession of faith in Jesus. You must believe the truth about who he is, that he's a divine being that is eternal, that came from heaven, that entered a human body, that came to suffer and die for the sins of mankind, that was raised the third day, and is now reigning in heaven. We just studied with Matt 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Look over at 2nd John. 2nd John. Look at verse 7. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ. Stop. Do they say there wasn't a Jesus Christ? No. Read the rest of it. As coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Oh, well, what difference does it make? They talk about Jesus. Maybe they sing about Jesus. It may not be what John taught about Jesus, but look at verse 8. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. You buy into that doctrine, you're not going to be in the scoop. So really, based on what Jesus says, as we've illustrated on the chart, that scoop's a little bit smaller than what people often envision. It does not include, I know that from these verses alone, everybody who proclaims some kind of faith in Jesus. That much I know. But let's continue further and let Jesus teach us. In Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Now, why the double? They emphasize that he's Lord. He's the great Lord. They may sing his praise and shout it loudly. They're okay then, right? They're not atheists. They're not infidels. They are truly not only believers in Jesus, but strong advocates for Jesus. But he said, not everybody that says that will enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, not everybody's going to be in that scoop. And he says, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then he specified in this particular discussion a specific group. He had warned them back in verse 15, beware of the false prophets. That's what he talks about now. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Listen, when a fellow claims to prophesy in the name of Jesus, and he is not empowered by the Spirit of God, he knows he's not empowered by the Spirit of God, he may have deceived himself, he is a false prophet. Today, you don't have to worry about it. Discerning the true from false, because there are no living prophets. And any man today, doesn't make any difference how big he puts Jesus on the sign, or up in the building, or how loud he shouts it, if he claims to prophesy in the name of Jesus, he is a false prophet. And he said, not everybody who prophesies in his name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name done perform many miracles. There's a lot of people who proclaim, we're going to work this miracle in the name of Jesus. Are they going to be scooped up into heaven? Jesus said, no. I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. And he's warning his audience, don't listen to those guys. Beware the false prophets. So, I know already this Jesus scoop is not just going to get everybody in every church and every preacher, everybody that just wears Jesus on a little pendant and cries out his name loudly. Jesus scoop's not going to get them. That little scoop's getting a little bit smaller than what we started with. But let's go further. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, again, we have Jesus. And he was preaching. What did he preach? Repent. Repent? What is that? You know what it is. It's change of will. Oh, I love the Lord. I want to serve Him. I will to serve Him. But wait, let's let Him tell us what that repentance entails. Go to chapter 21. Chapter 21. Verse 28. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in the vineyard. He answered, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it or repented and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing, but he answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the Father? People talk about Jesus, maybe the time that they were quote-unquote saved and gave their life to the Lord, but maybe they still drink and they still curse and they still living in adultery or whatever it may be. And they're not going to change. But I believe in Jesus. He's the Savior. And you know when the Jesus scoop is really pulled out? I'll tell you when it's pulled out. At funerals. That's my love. When they passed away, they might not have been living right. They know they should have changed, but they believed in Jesus, and we're going to get them in with this big scoop. I don't think that scoop's big enough to get them in. Do you? Based on what Jesus said, if people are not penitent and demonstrate that in the changes they need to make in their lives, it's not enough to say, I will, and not go. You got to, I will, and make the changes. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus really began to narrow the scope of this scoop. If you look in Luke chapter 14, verse 25, there was a lot of folks in the big scoop that would have said, Jesus, Jesus. I mean, there was a bunch of folks following Jesus. That's what the text says. Large crowds were going along with him. So, boy, they got it made. But he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, what? He says, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be and continue to be my disciple. You say, well, for me to deny my family, that just take away the joy of living. It's just like, I might as well die. Oh, I left off part. And he said, even his own life. See, I love the Lord. I don't follow false teachers, false prophets, that is. I'm trying to live a moral and good life, but let me tell you, my family, I just can't turn my back on my family when it comes to, even if it's a matter of allegiance to the Lord. But I believe in Jesus. Well, will the scoop get you in? I'm not an authority on it, but Jesus said this. He said, if you love your family more than me, and he said it in a strong way. He said, you got to hate. Obviously, that meant that there can be no question about the priority that Jesus has in one's heart and life. And so that little scoop's getting smaller and smaller, isn't it? That scoops people into heaven. Now, you know, Jesus commissioned some men we call apostles to teach on this subject. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 28, he said to these apostles that they would sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So the apostles would be in some position of authority in declaring the rules of the kingdom, entrance into the kingdom, who could participate in it. The way he put it in John chapter 20 when he met with these men after his resurrection, in John chapter 20, verse 22, he's with these men, he's appearing to them after his resurrection. He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't receive it that day. They would receive it after he ascended. They would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, overwhelmed with his power to equip them to do their work. But then he said, if you forgive the sins of any, they couldn't forgive sins against God. It's obviously a figure of speech, where an action is put for the declaration of it. If you, guided by this Holy Spirit that you receive, declare that men's sins are forgiven, they'll be forgiven. But he said, if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. And so the Holy Spirit would be given to these men we call apostles. They would be empowered to set forth the terms of forgiveness of sins and thus entrance into heaven. Who could be in that Jesus scoop? So let's say something the apostles said. Over in Acts chapter 2, we have one of these apostles. Well, actually, all of them were up preaching. We have the record of one particular apostle's sermon, Peter. They may have all preached the same kind of message. But Peter is preaching. And when you get down to verse 36, you see what he's driving at. Let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. The crucified Messiah was in God's plan. You put him to death, but that was God's plan for him to die. He has risen from the dead, and he gave evidences in the sermon. He's now sitting at the right hand of God on David's throne. And you've got to recognize who he is and why he came, and that he's now the ruler. He has all authority as to whether or not your sins are forgiven or they're not forgiven. Verse 37, it says, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? They were believers in what Peter preached. In their journey toward salvation, they've reached the point of faith. Now, you know that it's widely stated by quote-unquote Christian churches and preachers that when you reach the point of faith, all you've got to do is pray a prayer, thanking God for Christ entering your heart and forgiving your sins, and you're okay. Just reach the point of faith. Get people to believe, and you, that's it. They're included. So that's what they ask. What do we need to do? But Peter didn't respond like modern preachers. He said, well, he said, you've got to repent. He preached the same kind of message John the Baptist preached and Jesus preached, the need for repentance. A change of will, a change of life. The change of will results in a change of life. But that's not all. He said, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus, but that's not all. You're baptized in connection with that faith and recognition of His authority. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why are you baptized? For the forgiveness of your sins. Now, what did we just read over in Matthew 19, 28 and John 20, verse 22 following? Whoever sins, you forgive, they'll be forgiven. Whoever sins, you retain, they'll be retained. When the Holy Spirit empowered Peter to preach this message, that's what he preached. Verse 41, it says, those who received his word were baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls. Added to what? Look at verse 47 and you got the answer. The Lord was adding to their number day by day those who are being saved. They wanted to be baptized immediately because they understood that baptism was essential to being saved. And as each one was baptized, they were added to the number of the saved. Not by the church, not by the preacher, not by the apostle, but by the Lord. Because He was forgiving their sins. And now they're in the group of the saved. And if you want a word that describes that group, it's the word church. The church of our Lord. So, to get into that group of the saved, according to that passage, you've got to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Now, Peter hadn't been to a seminary, but he was empowered by the Holy Spirit when he said that. So question, how big is that scoop now? And all these people who proclaim faith in Jesus, but they haven't been baptized for the remission of sins. Is that scoop going to just sweep them up? But wait, there's more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we are dealing with some people who evidently had been baptized for the remission of sin. Paul preached in Corinth. He established the church there. He taught baptism for the remission of sin. But you've got a case here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 of one of those people who are living in immorality, verse 1. Fornication, sexual uncleanness. Look what he says in verse 5. Well, let me start in 4. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember, this is the Jesus scoop, right? In the name of the Lord Jesus, when you are assembled and I with you in spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan. What? Wasn't he baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus? That's what Paul would preach. But now, he's living in immorality. Paul said, I'm delivering him to Satan. I wonder if he's going to be in that scoop. No, I don't wonder. I know he's not. You do too. Look at chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. That's why we preach these kind of lessons. There it is right there. Paul was preaching it through this letter, this kind of sermon right here. Do not be deceived. He said, neither fornicators. So a fellow baptized for remission of sins, but he's out having unlawful sexual activity, man or woman. But don't be deceived about that. He said, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. He said that verse 9. He said it again in verse 10. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. I know that person is not going to be scooped up into heaven. And then he dealt with idolaters and adulterers, or people who divorced for no lawful reason, biblical reason, and remarried. They go to church and sing and pray and give, but they're adulterers. They're living in adultery. Is Jesus going to get them? Not according to Paul. Nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. Now there are churches of Christ by name who are receiving people who are living the lesbian and homosexual lifestyle. Say, boy, they believe in Jesus. Jesus is so wonderful. He'll get them in. You folks are narrow-minded because you don't think they can be in. Well, I'm just reading what a man who was given the Holy Spirit wrote about entrance into the kingdom. Evidently, he indicated that people who live this kind of lifestyle, including thieves and covetous and drunkards and revilers and swindlers, he said they will not enter the kingdom. And he said, don't anybody deceive you about it. There's a moral code. And that little scoop, not big like we started with, it's getting smaller and smaller. Does it include all the people that the world of religion thinks that it does? But wait. Jesus spoke to John, had him write the book or the letter we call Revelation. And chapters 2 and 3 are letters to seven churches. You get over to chapter 3 and verse 15, he said, I know your deeds, that you were neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. But because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. They're going to be scooped up by Jesus into heaven or not? Now look at verse 14. These people are members of a church of Christ. They probably attended, at least occasionally. If they had a directory, their names were probably there. But he said, you make me sick. And then he said to these people, down in verse 19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. They needed zeal. They needed a committed spirit. Instead of this kind of lukewarm, now and then, spirit of serving Christ. So here are people who may believe that Jesus came from heaven. They may have confessed his name, been buried in baptism, which is very likely being the church at Laodicea. No indication they're living in immorality, but they're just lukewarm about their faith. They're not dedicated. Jesus says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Well, what about that scoop? It's getting a little bit smaller, isn't it? It's not near as big as we started with, and which with every revelation that we read, either from Jesus or his apostles, we have more insight about who's going to be scooped up into heaven. Go to Hebrews chapter 10 with me. Hebrews chapter 10. And we have some more information about who's going to be scooped up. Here are some people, according to verse 25, who had forsaking the assembling of themselves together. Not somebody just missed because they were sick or had to work that day. They're abandoning the saints and being with the saints and working with the saints and being identified with the saints and thus with Christ. That's what these saints gathered for, because of their faith in Christ. And it says, they're forsaking our assembling together. What about those people? They're not immoral. They know the truth. They might be able to just sit down and tell you where the verses are about who Jesus is and how to be saved. But they now are forsaking that faith and forsaking being identified with those who are active in it. Look at verse 26. If we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Look down at verse 29. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Tell me, if people who have abandoned their work and association and identity with God's people are going to be in that scoop that gets them to heaven. We sometimes use the term, once a Christian, always a Christian. That's not so. We use the phrase, once a child of God, always a child of God. It's not so. And if we forsake the faith that we should be clinging to zealously, there's no funeral preacher under the heaven, no church, no sprinkling of water, no rosary, nothing else men can do to get you in. That little Jesus scoop is getting a bit small, isn't it? You say, boy, I'll tell you what, preacher, you believe in a narrow scoop. It's awfully small. Well, back in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus had something to say about that very thing. In Matthew 7, he said, enter, verse 13, through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. The gate is small and the way is narrow. What does that fit? What does that teaching fit? What we've been looking at? Or that big, wide scoop that just gets everybody? That has some kind of affiliation with Jesus. He said, the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Over in Luke chapter 13, verse 23, someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? That's kind of what it looks like up here, doesn't it? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. That's how Jesus answered the question. I don't know what Jesus' people are preaching today. You know, in our original text, the Abraham scoop. Remember what John said? Do not suppose. And people have this vision of Jesus. You know, at this time of the year, people are getting really involved in fantasy football. Fantasy football is where a guy pretends to be an owner of a team and he can put guys on and take guys off and so forth. But he's not the owner of a team. He doesn't have that power. It's fantasy. Well, a lot of people engaging in fantasy religion about a fanciful Jesus that they fantasize will get them into heaven. And it's just as actual as the football team that people play fantasy football on. It's all of the imagination. It's not real. Now, how are you going to get in that little scoop? There's only one way. And everybody that's scooped up into heaven is going to be there by the grace of Almighty God. And you know what that means? That includes you and that includes me. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. You've got to have the atoning blood of Jesus. You've got to have His sacrifice and His mercy. I've got to depend upon Him and His grace in order to go to heaven. In 1 Timothy in chapter 1, here's the Apostle Paul talking about something very similar. 1 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 14. He said, "The grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." It doesn't make any difference how bad you've been. Paul said, "I'm the foremost of sinners. But by the grace of God, He saved me, and He can save you." And that statement is worthy of acceptation. It's a faithful statement, worthy of putting your trust in, that we are saved by the grace of God. So, we're back to where we began. Do not suppose. I've asked some of the young people today, wish all of you would take notes. You're going to hear in school. You're going to hear in college. You're going to hear all over the place. Just believe in Jesus. As long as people believe in Jesus, everything's lovely. Do not suppose. We can buy into that philosophy if we're not careful. But John warned, do not suppose. And do not suppose that just because somebody professes some faith in Jesus, that big scoop's going to finally get them. Maybe it's at the funeral, but it's going to get them in one way or the other. It just ain't so. We're going to sing about Jesus, correct, Josh?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you looked at the song or not. Jesus, Savior, pilot me, right? Well, if Jesus is your pilot through life's tempestuous seas, what do all these verses mean? He'll pilot. He'll plan our course. He'll take us safely through if we listen to His teaching. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. That should be our aim. We're here to follow the one who has the command of the ship to get us safely to shore. If we can assist you in following Jesus, then won't you come as we stand and as we sing.